Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. Oh, my goodness. So good to see you. I can see you where you are. You can't hide from me. I see you behind the door. Why are you doing that? So obvious I can see you. I'm just being silly because it's just one of those days. Spring is so close. We're feeling a little spring in our step, actually. And let me explain something to you. When last we checked in, it was Thursday, and I told you that we were going to have a special show on Monday. Well, Jeffrey Osborne, as I suspected, had a schedule change, so a whole lot of interviews had to be turned around, and so we're awaiting on that word. Could possibly be Thursday, we don't know. But for sure on Thursday, at the top of the show is going to be Amanda Brecker, who is the daughter, beautiful daughter, of Eliana Elias and Randy Brecker. And she's got a new career and a new CD, and it's just going to be really cool. Today is a whole nother story. Today, we have the legendary Bobby Humphrey joining us in the third and final hour of the show. Can I just tell you how exciting that is? Bobby has been around since I was going to school. She's only a couple of years older than me, and we'll be talking about those times. Oh, what times they were. Are you ready? I think you are. We always start off with a classic on Hybrid Jazz. This is the Oscar Peterson Trio. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Look, baby,
your lips look delicious.
such a blizzard before.
I've got to get home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Hey, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
Oh, don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me? Well, think of my life on. Pneumonia and die.
I really can't stay.
Get over the holdout. Oh, but it's
I gotta go, Jennifer. Get my coat.
Come on now.
Oh, man. That was a trip to hear that the first time. So in love with the CD. Jeffrey Osborne, the brand new A Time for Love, produced by George Duke, and that track featuring Chaka Khan. Baby, it's cold outside. Not exactly cold. It's rainy as can be in Baltimore, but you get the idea. Little icebreaker, that song. So here's the story on that. Apparently, George Duke was doing a show at the UN with Chaka, and he mentioned that George was working with Jeffrey. And Chaka said, I want to be a part of that, and this is the song that she wanted to do. She always wanted to record it. So George said he thought it would be really cool to add the dialogue and make it really different, and it is really full of chemistry. Woohoo! On that, by the way, George on piano, Christian McBride on upright bass, John Roberts on drums, Walt Fowler on trumpet, and Kamasi Washington on sax there. Delicious. Jeffrey Osborne, here's the story. So we had agreed to do an interview today, but apparently the schedule for Jeffrey and making the rounds for this new CD has blown up. So Jolynn from his office asked me if we could do Thursday. However, they wanted to do the same time as Amanda Brecker, which wasn't doable because Amanda had to leave at 1:30, so it's going to be 1 to 1:30. She's doing her interview. So we'll work it out, I hope. And if we don't work it out in the next several days, I'm going to see George Duke next week. So hopefully we can work it out then, I hope. Chuck Loeb, The Blues App. Special mentions to Harvey Mason on drums and Pat Bianchi on that Hammond B3. Oh, isn't that delicious? Oh, my gosh. From an album that is a huge album for me, and I'm so proud of Chuck Loeb for doing this because he went ahead and did something that some musicians do if they have the courage and the wherewithal, the means, monetary means and otherwise, to make it happen. Chuck was enamored when he was young with hearing Wes Montgomery and Jimmy Smith. And he thought, wouldn't it be cool if someday I could get an organ trio together and do something that would be fun and not in the parameters that I have been used to be seen in. So you can read between the lines there. So this is an amalgam of different kinds of music, but it's a lot of straight-ahead stuff and just swing stuff, and man, is it good. Woohoo! And just to keep up with Chuck, he just finished a duo set with Mitchell Foreman, his old friend in Belgium, and he did with Foreplay, Java Jazz, and I imagine there are lots of plans for the summer because everybody seems to be making plans a little bit earlier than usual for the summer, and that's a good thing. That's a good sign, actually. To start off the set, my goodness, the Oscar Peterson Trio, Big Fat Mama, from live at the Opera House and at the Schron Auditorium, two different locations, back in 1957. Herb Ellis on guitar, Ray Brown on bass. Man, did they cook. Oscar Peterson said this was one of the most lively amalgams of folks that he ever was a part of, and he was a part of everybody. Oh, what one of the most beloved figures in jazz. This big man from Canada, pianist and composer, an eight-time Grammy Award winner called the Maharaja by Duke Ellington, and lived to tell the tale, don't you know, because in the 50s, when Oscar was traveling around with Herb Ellis, who was white, and Ray Brown, you saw very few integrated jazz units. So it made for some fascinating times in different parts of the country that were segregated. But Oscar just seemed to have this wonderful demeanor of serenity. And there's a story here. I love it. More than the fact that he had a 60-year career, the gentleman who found Oscar Peterson, in a sense, who heard him on the radio, and on the radio there was a live broadcast of Oscar playing in one of these Canadian clubs. Norman Granz heard him and made it a point to find out who he was, and Norman got him work at Carnegie Hall, and they had this beautiful friendship that lasted for a long time. And the nickname, I believe, that Oscar had for Norman was Smedley. Norman gave him a dog named Smedley, and Smedley knew that in 2007, 2 days before Christmas, Oscar Peterson was going to pass away and would not leave the bed where Oscar was. Just a beautiful story. Oh, my gosh. Just one of those larger-than-life, literally and metaphorically, larger-than-life talents. Just a pleasure to hear him play, wasn't it? Woo, that's good stuff. Bobby Humphrey, speaking of good stuff, at the top of the third hour of Hybrid Jazz today. Shoo, she's going to have some stories to tell. The first female ever to be signed to the amazing record label Blue Note back in the 70s. Something to consider, huh? Yes, sir. Can we do a little Ronnie Laws? Can we please? Can we dip back in time to the mid-70s? We're going to go back a few times today. You know this. This is from his debut album, Pressure Sensitive. Always There on Hybrid Jazz. We'll be right back. Well, there's a big old hole. The microphone would not go on. But now Mike MacArthur's coming on. Cool. Enjoy. All right, now. I love you, Ronnie. Okay, Blog Talk Radio is just taking over. Here we go. Wow. Hold on, let me see if I can fix this. Now, see, there's always a first for everything, isn't there? Not what we wanted to do. Let's see if this works. This is Mike MacArthur. Woohoo! Into that song, did she not? Ooh, Lord! Diane Reeves, what a voice that woman has back in the mid to late 80s, Better Days. That's a favorite song for a whole lot of folks I know. Beach, I'm sorry to make you cry. Oh, Beach is crying. Matt was talking about Diane Reeves, I guess, being on the Robert Towns show. And this was going back a few years. And everybody came out with pictures of their grandmothers while the cameras were rolling. Man, I would have lost it then. Oh, Lord, what a good song. Diane Reeves, let me tell you, a little revelation I had today. I knew that she was part of this Sing the Truth trio. Oh, my gosh. Angelique Kidjo and Liz Wright singing Miriam Makeba, Abby Lincoln, and Odetta. They've done several dates. They just did a date a few weeks ago, and hopefully some more are coming. And then I saw that Diane is going to be at the Berks Jazz Fest, which would be thrilling enough as it is, but she is going to be backed by the Reading Symphony Orchestra. Oh, my gosh, they're having an anniversary, and Diane is going to be singing in front of that orchestra, which is going to be wonderful. Then I find out that she has a post on her Facebook page pertaining to Nancy Wilson and how we need to get a petition started so that Nancy Wilson can be recognized by the Kennedy Center Honors. Absolutely. And that link is on my page, by the way. Just hound these folks at Kennedy Center, because the picture that I posted of Nancy a little while ago on Facebook, oh, my God, she looks just gorgeous. And we need to put pedal to the metal with that, because they're probably deciding just about now. So if you see the link, it's like Kennedy-Center.org. That's where to go. Then on top of all this Diane Reeves news, she has a new album coming out produced by her cousin, George Duke. That name will be mentioned a few times today. Actually, I just mentioned it a little while ago with Jeffrey Osborne. It'll probably get mentioned again just because it keeps creeping up in everybody's work. It's, what is it, the Kevin Bacon nine times removed? What is that thing called where everybody has George Duke in common, like Kevin Bacon? And listen, I apologize for the technical the glitches. I'm not sure what's going on. This has never happened. Usually it's the case where you have to wait for one song to pretty much completely finish before you punch another song in with this home studio screen that I have from Blog Talk Radio. And for some reason, that's not translating. There's a big, big hesitation. So hopefully that won't happen again, but it's happened twice now, so keep your fingers crossed. Mike MacArthur has a new album out called Feels Like Home. You can find out more information on amggroupmusic.com, not mikemacarthur.com, amggroupmusic.com. What you heard was Sanctified. Wasn't that nice? Oh, my goodness. And I discovered earlier today that Mike is going to be opening for Queen Latifah on the 26th at the Ruth Eckert Hall in Clearwater, Florida. You know he is going crazy. Isn't that cool news? Mike just, we had such a good time when we did the show a couple of months ago, same day as Jackie Ryan, who was just soaring on the charts with her brand new one, Listen Here. And Mike is getting accolade after accolade for Feels Like Home. He's got the Jeffs with him on the album, Lorber and Golub. He's got Rick Braun. He's got Brian Bromberg, Alex Acuna. Just real nice tunage on there. Ronnie Law's always there from Pressure Sensitive, his debut on Blue Note 1975. On that album, by the way, Joe Sample, Wilton Felder, and a group that was getting some buzz in L.A. at that time, Side Effect, which was essentially a disco band. Oh, but everybody was dipping into disco in one way or another, much to other people's chagrin, but it made for some really nice hybrid music, if you will. And Ronnie Laws was essential to play today because Bobby Humphrey is coming our way at the top of the 3 p.m. hour. And if you're not in the same time zone, we have another hour to go. And then that third hour, Bobby will join us. And it's just so cool to have this memory. I know Micah Chevalier refreshed my memory. She's listening in here and there today. And there was a time when WSMJ was on the air. We had the brunches on Sunday, which were very successful. You never knew who was going to drop by. Well, there was a big festival that one of the high schools has each year. It's an international festival. All sorts of music. This particular weekend, it was Ronnie Laws and it was Bobby Humphrey. They decided to come to the brunch because they wanted to check out this keyboard player that was getting a lot of buzz, Daoud Saeed, whose intro and outro music you hear on this show. So here comes Ronnie and Bobby blowing people's minds walking into the Marriott in downtown Baltimore. And Micah was singing, and Rick White was playing bass, and Daoud was playing piano, and then everybody just got to play with everybody else. It was great. It was great. So Bobby will like that, we remembered that particular memory. We had a great picture taken that day, too. And when I get my old computer back, when I get all the stuff transferred from the old to the new, hopefully this week, Lord, maybe we'll post that picture. Let's play some more music in the meantime, shall we? Mimi Jones. Man, what a resume this young woman has. She really does get to play with some folks, and you don't get to play with those folks unless you are really stand up. Well, she does stand up bass, and you're going to hear how strong this lady is. She has been on the show, too. A lot of people have at this point, haven't they? This is Mimi Jones from back in 2009 or so. New Day. It's the name of the CD, and Sista is the name of the tune on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you. covenant I sung to you of the knight in armor bright, faithful and true to you, darling. After all, I will be the one to hold you in my
play that song, especially for Sean and Catherine. For some of us who are diehards who watched all 3 hours of the Bachelor finale last night, there's no excuse for us. Man, you talk about living vicariously. Seriously, I have watched The Bachelor since the beginning, more or less. Some contenders, I couldn't do it. I could not watch the train wreck that is sometimes that show. But Sean was so fabulous. He was the one who got rejected, what was it, last year, by a lady who has some issues. The less said about that, the better. But the more we say about Sean, the better. He is just such a loving person and actually shed tears saying goodbye to the lady whose heart he had to break. You know, everybody knows when you go into a show like this, you have to make a decision, right? So he made the right decision. This little tiny thing, Catherine, is so beautiful, and they're so funny together, and they're going to get married on TV. I don't think that's a big deal. I think that's great. Look, they fell in love on TV. Let's get married on TV. What the heck? It's just wonderful. Love is a powerful aphrodisiac. Ask Al Jarreau. Oh, my. After all, happy birthday, Al. 73 years young today. God, I love you so. 7-time Grammy Award winner. And look, would you please do me a favor and pray for him? He's got some dates. He's doing Switzerland and France and Germany and Spain, and I want him to be healthy because he's going to be, here's the name again, with George Duke at the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival, a trio, this fall, right around birthday time for moi. Oh, my gosh. And today, this day, on his birthday, he's in the studio with his longtime friend. You know, George and Al go back when Al was a social worker in Northern California. And George was playing the piano in one of their haunts. Al would sing, and George would play the piano. And somebody said to Al, you know what, the social worker thing, it's great, but really, you could be making some serious money singing. So thank God for all of us. He took that advice. Oh, Al, happy birthday to you. Just so tickled about everything that's happening with him. He scared us with what happened, what was it, a year and a half ago? Don't do that again, Al. Daniel Domage, have a good day. From his album Lost in My Thoughts, brand new. Boy, is he getting some accolades. And that's fresh off the birthday wishes that he had. Daniel, by the way, we're getting close to, this is not a joke, this trips me out when I tell you this. At last count, I think there was over 1,700 listens to the show he did on Hybrid Jazz. He has really got a big following, not only in his native France, which makes sense, internationally speaking, but he's getting a lot of friends in the States, and we really need to see him come over here. So keep your fingers crossed for that. Daniel, I love you. You know I do. Have a good day. One of those tasty tracks on Lost in My Thoughts, just the essence of cool. If James Bond was doing a soundtrack, I think that we should have Daniel Domage music in the background. Mimi Jones, to start off, her parents were from Barbados and St. Croix. On Sunday, Mimi's mom and dad would have cleaning sessions in the house. They would listen to everything, songs from the island, jazz, pop, rock, folk, country. So she grew up listening and having all of this immersed in her. Bassist, vocalist, composer, MimiJonesMusic.com has more information about the fact that, for example, she had a full scholarship to Manhattan School of Music Conservatory. Her real name is Miriam Sullivan. And on a new day, she has one of the coolest guitar players ever. There's something special about Marvin Sewell. And when he works with Cassandra Wilson, you can hear it. You heard some of his guitar work with Mimi. He's just got one of these bayou beats inside of him. He can't shake it. Woo, it's so sexy. Anyway, Mimi is doing a Kickstarter project because she wants her new album to be funded. And if you would, go to MimiJonesMusic.com or her Facebook pages. She's got a personal one. She's got a music page. See if you can help out, because this gal, I mean, she was on Terry Lynn Carrington's Mosaic Project. She works with Esperanza Spalding and Tia Fuller, these strong, worthy, extraordinarily talented ladies. And Mimi right there at the top, and as humble as can be, too. Love it. Let's dip into some stuff, shall we? Marvin got me a little pumped there. And Bobby Humphrey's going to get me pumped even more. You too. Man, can't wait to hear what she has to say. Love her speaking voice. Have you ever heard Bobby Humphrey speak? It's just like this little girl. Oh, I love her voice. What do you hear? Mongo Santa Maria. Can we go back a while? Man, you talk about making an impact with this album, Afro Roots. This is the immortal Afro Blue on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Dejo en tu vientre barcos de papel y en tus labios y un pétalo en el recuerdo.
Isn't that intoxicating? Oh, Lord have mercy. From Luis Munoz's new CD called Lose Light, a song that Luis has for his wife, Holly Ann, Testamento Mas Alla. And incredible people on this particular track. The album is incredible. I mean, you know what a fan I am of. Woo! Jonathan Dane on trumpet, Tom Etchart on acoustic bass, George Friedenthal on piano, Chris Judge on acoustic guitar, the amazing percussionist, composer, arranger, Luis Munoz on percussion right there, and the vocal provided by Magos Herrera, who is internationally known, multiple CDs, born in Mexico City, revered in many countries as the absolute penultimate of voices. And, wow, she's breathtaking because not only does she sing, she's a writer, she's an actress, she's a teacher, she is a TV and radio host, and she has been working with the UN to raise awareness of violence toward women. She is quite an extraordinary woman, Magos Herrera. Woo! I love to say her name. Love to say all those names. Luis Munoz is going to be at, let's see, Soho in Santa Barbara on Thursday. He's going to be doing quite a few of the tracks from Luz. If you are in the Cali area in Santa Barbara, first of all, may I just say lucky you. And secondly, go and support him. Just incredible to see in person. I can only surmise. Every time I hear him, I hear and feel and smell and taste Costa Rica. He's going to laugh when he hears me say that. But he just embodies all of what Costa Rica is to me. Lord, it's so good. We heard a track. You have never heard me play us a track from this before. The Michael Plesnik Group, Rhythm Harvest. This is from back in 1992. Our good friend Narda Productions made sure that this got to the right ears. And I love the track that we heard, Giant Step. These are cats and kitties that are part of this Rhythm Harvest group, as it were, have all been studying for years what authentic music is in different cultures, particularly in Africa. This one, for example, the introduction to this piece, it says here, is based on traditional music that pays homage to Agayu, the mountain spirit of the Yoruba people of Western Nigeria. They're very precise in how they want to be perceived, and I'm not sure if they're still doing their thing now. I've tried to find a little bit of research, and I did, and I have to go back now. Michael Plesnik Group, recorded in 1991, and maybe I'll tap our friend Narda and see if he can shed some light on what they're doing these days, because that was quite a nice assembly of music, as it was with Mongo Santa Maria. Now, every time I say that name in the past many years, I've cracked up because if you remember Blazing Saddles, those crazy, crazy loons in that movie had a scene where somebody actually exclaimed, Mongo Santa Maria! And it was based, of course, on the real-life rumba quinto master and congrero, African Cuban Latin jazz percussionist who paved the way for so much of what we see and feel in the way of music these days. Afro Blue from Afro Roots from the 50s. That was choice, wasn't it? Love it. Let's play a few more tracks before our guest comes at the top of next hour. Woo! Where am I? You were right, Beach. That was a Calgon Take Me Away moment or two with that song. Man, that was good. And we're going to hear another feel for this particular kind of vibe that we're floating on right now. Birthday guy tomorrow, Terrence Blanchard. He's got some news, and we'll get involved in a little bit of that telling for you. But This is going back to 2000, not that terribly long ago, but the world has really changed significantly in 13 years, hasn't it? This is from Wandering Moon. It's a song called Luna Viajera. How's that? On Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Woo, this is so good.
Thank you.
Delightful. Joey DeFrancesco on that Hammond organ from Never Can Say Goodbye, the music of Michael Jackson from just a couple of years ago, Human Nature. It's always so cool to hear somebody's interpretation of that song, no matter who it is. It's always done with love because that's a favorite song for a whole lot of people. Joey, by the way, is going to be at Yoshi's tonight. Holy cow. It's a Miles Davis alumni gathering with, among others, Larry Coryell and Wallace Roney. Woo! If you are at Yoshi's in the area at all tonight or can get there, please go support that fine sounding crew. That's going to be choice. We heard, too, Terrence Blanchard, and that was Luna Viajera from Wandering Moon from 2000. Terrence has a new album coming out in May. I'm really excited about that. And it's his birthday tomorrow, so wish him a happy birthday. I am quickening things along just a tad because I want to get to a few songs. I promised to play Tim Green. I'm going to play this Billie Holiday song. He did, this beautiful young saxophonist did a Billie Holiday song. How many times do you hear of male instrumentalists of note doing a song written by a woman? I'm just going to put it out to you, right like that. From Songs from This Season. What an album this is, too. Tim Green on saxophone and a cast of illustrious artists. Billie Holiday song and Bobby Humphrey and a blast from the past. Following on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Bobby joins us in less than 10 minutes. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Chicago Dance.
So do you feel transported? Because I am. Sister's raising her hand. Man, that is so nice to go back in time and relive. If you did not live back in those times in the early 70s when folks were just feeling out what life was all about and you're hearing the sounds of the street and you're picking up every single thing that life held for you back at that time, man, I feel so badly for you because those were some smoking times. And the lady who made that transportation possible right there, Chicago Dam from Blacks and Blues back in 1973, is not only the first lady of the flute, but also producer, mentor, consummate businesswoman, fundraiser, social activist, and one of the coolest people on the planet, ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Humphrey.
Hi, Miss Tris.
Hi, Miss Bobby. How are you?
I am feeling so great today. Oh, my goodness. You got me so relaxed before I came on. I'm like, oh, this is what music is supposed to do. But I got to talk in about 5 minutes, not relaxed out. Fantastic show.
Oh, I'm so glad. And you know what? When you hear your music from so many years ago, because you've been doing music for such a long time, what do you feel like when you hear something from the 70s that made such a powerful impact on people?
I feel it is the power of music. And when I was just speaking about your show, I wasn't particularly talking about my music. The music you played before my segment, oh, my goodness, it was so relaxing. And a happy birthday to Terrence. I just
enjoyed
everything that led up to this moment. But to answer your question, music is such a powerful force. It can be relaxing. It can move people to make significant changes. That is, my opinion, the beauty of music. And I'm just proud to share the gifts that God has given me.
You've got so many, Bobby. Oh, my gosh. It was so wonderful to see you at work a couple of different times. And I'm going back to the Cap Jazz Festival now several years ago.
That was so much fun.
Wasn't it? The original superstars of jazz fusion. John Lucien was still with us. Oh, God, that was beautiful.
That was really, really special, being with all of my friends. And I'm trying to continue that legacy. I developed my own package called Fabulous Friends Forever, and I've been going out a couple of times with Tom Brown and Ronnie Laws, Gene Karn, Lonnie Liston Smith. You know, it's just a pleasure and a blessing to create music with your friends.
Yeah, it is. And it's so wonderful, Bobby, because our worlds overlap. I mean, you just gave a for instance, Lonnie Liston Smith lives in Virginia, and I've seen him now a few times out and about in the Baltimore area. He came to hang at Club 347 not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
And just so cool to know that you traveled in some circles that sort of blend into the Baltimore scene. Even though you're definitely a New York gal, you have such ties to the Baltimore, D.C. area and
I love
beyond.
Baltimore.
I know you do.
Somebody send me a crab cake.
Oh, really? Yeah. Isn't the food something else? Because I'm a Philadelphia girl.
But I love the harbor.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time you were here?
I have not performed there in a couple of years. I'm looking forward to coming back. I thought that I was coming there, you know, in a few days, but that's going to have to be rescheduled. But I'm looking forward to coming back to Baltimore area. I will be in the D.C. area, though, April the 12th for my very dear friend, the late Donald Byrd.
I'm
going to be with the Blackbirds. It's going to be like old times. We're going to be at a place called The Ark in D.C.
Oh,
that
Bobby.
Was very, very hard losing Donald and dealing with it. And I just think about all the great times we had on the road and the great music, of course, that he made as a master of music.
Well, and then there's another wonderful scenario because Donald got these group of guys from Howard University. And
yes, she did.
The Blackbirds were born, and my gosh, another integral piece of our musical history that, you know what, it still has repercussions after all these years. And you do, too. It just trips me out, Bobby, that you were the first female signed to Blue Note Records.
Yes, I was. And during that time, on my first record, the late Lee Morgan, the legendary Lee Morgan, guested on my record, and I ended up guessing on what turned out to be his last record. And about 1973, a very integral part of Donald's career and mine were, of course, the great legendary producers, the Mizell brothers, Larry and Fonz Mizell, who created a sound in the early 70s, which is being called now smooth jazz. But we were actually fortunate to have written, I would call it the blueprint. I'm not saying myself, but we were there at the right time and coming together and utilizing our God-given talents that, you know, was just really cutting edge, and it was a lot of fun. And something that spread globally. To think that Harlem River Drive, as a matter of fact, one of my big dates coming up, I'm being celebrated for the 40th anniversary of Harlem River Drive,
wow,
April the 19th here in New York at the Schomburg,
man,
Library. And it's just the power, like as I said, and the beauty of music. And as a creative artist, every day I wake up and I say, well, God, please bless me to be creative in any area that you want me to be. And that has been in music and of late photography and writing.
Really?
Photography? I just finished my first book. It's being edited now. Yes. Yes. It's called Bobbyisms, Blossoms, and Bliss. And that will be coming out later on this year.
You are something. Mm.
Well, you know, I love Tobago, and I've been going there for the past 25 years, and I come back with these photographs, and people say, well, who took those? And I said, well, I did. But I sort of graduated. My real love are these flowers and blossoms. I really love them. So it's going to be in a coffee table book.
That's really awesome. We have to keep in touch so that I can let folks know exactly where they can buy the book. Although I have to say to folks who don't know, Bobby, I'm sure you have all of that rearranged because you
on my website.
Okay.
www.bobbyhumphrey.net. I'm updating my website, and it will be in my store, which is called the Bob Store, and probably Amazon and some other online entities, but certainly it's going to originate at bobbyhumphrey.net.
Oh, I'm quite sure it's going to be in a few entities because you were the one who taught a lot of women how to get a grip and make sure that their management and anything that has to do with their career in the way of publication was taken care of. You have created quite a stir through the years because women took note that you stepped up and made sure that you had business handled, Bobby Humphrey.
Well, it's been on-the-job training. I was really 21 years old, and I got into a contract that was not as favorable to me as an artist, but I used that as a learning tool and something to spread to other artists, per se, that if we create the music, and certainly technology, who knew? Technology stepped in to be the greatest ally, in my opinion, of freedom for artists and to realize commercial return on our creation. So I often tell artists it's easier to start off with a good agreement than making a bad agreement better. And but I thank God for the opportunity to create music. And when I get fan mail or people sign my guest book and saying that I inspired them, that really, really brightens my day and makes me really, really happy.
You are so positive. Anytime I see that you have a post written, you really are sincerely optimistic about not only the present and the future, but what has transpired. And one of the questions I have for you, because, you know, having lived in those times, I was a Philadelphia girl, but I was aware of what was happening in the world to a large extent. You know, you and I are about the same age. And
yeah.
There was lots of turbulence and lots of social awareness giving birth back in the 60s and into the 70s. What was it like for you as a woman? I mean, here you were at in Texas, and Dizzy Gillespie sees you, and he says to you, why don't you think about coming to New York? And you did. You made that transition from the South to the North. Your experience as a woman, do things stand out for you in the way of culture shock, being a woman, being in those times when we had all these great leaders who were opening doors for us, Malcolm X and Dr. King, and so much awareness of what had never been, and all of a sudden everything is coming to the surface.
Exactly. It was a great time. And when you are 21, I was 21 when I came to New York. In my opinion, I was blessed with the gift of youth, of naivety. It never really entered my mind the possibility of no. And it was not one of arrogance. It was one of faith. I came to New York simply with $400, my faith and my flute. And I said, well, if people like Dizzy Gillespie, and I was playing first chair in the band, said, oh, wow, you really have a talent. I said, well, let me go to a place like New York. And I was very practical about it. I didn't have a driver's license. And fast forward, 2013, I still don't have a license. I'm going to go to a place where at least I know I can get around. And I had my little take from the big band where I was featured at SMU and just methodically hit the sidewalks like one would look for a job. And third day, I was blessed with the opportunity to be on the stage with the great Duke Ellington, one of my cousins, Eddie Preston, a very fine trumpeter, invited me, and I met Duke Ellington, and he said, do you play that? And I was so shy that my knees were literally knocking. I said, yes, yes. And he says, okay, I'll see you on the bandstand. We're going to play Sea Jam Blues and Satin Doll and probably Little Darling. I'm like, oh, my God, I learned that in high school. So I had only taken up the flute when I was 15, and I was 21. I'm like, God, you are really, really blessing me. And that's one of the highlights. And then 3 weeks later, I saw this office building called United Artists, and I asked the attendant, I said, do you guys have a record label in here? And he says, we have Blue Note Records. And I was so excited at the time. I said, Blue Note Records, do you know what that is? He says, I know it's on the fourth floor. And I took my tape up there, and I'm going to take you back. You will never guess, well, you might, the configuration. I had my 8-track, and you could not tell me anything. I had my 8-track tape, my white go-go boots, and my hot pants. And I'm like, I am in the big city. And that's how it all started. That's how it all started. And then I got on the job training, and I started learning things. Certain little things called royalties and recoupment and all that. And, you know, things are going to work out, but I'm, you know, still waiting to get things resolved, because so many artists, and you can attest to this, you know, we go and we make our music and stuff. That's why I said at the outset, who knew that the technology, I'm set free by MP3. So I don't really have to wait for creative statements to come to me, you know, that I really control my own business. And even if I sell 10,000 records, you know what? It's something that came from me, and it's something that I know is a figure that I can live with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were very smart, and I can't help but think that you were raised right, because some folks never grasp that situation, Bobby. I mean, you and I have known people who have labored and are amazing talents, but they never understood how important it was to have rights to music and have a
yes.
piece of that pie.
Exactly. You know, I go all the way back to I love history. History is one of my great passions. Besides music, I love history and art, visual art. And I go back and I read some of these, so many of the stories, and particularly African American music, you know, history from Buddy Bolden in New Orleans, even preceding that, the importance of gospel that evolved into blues that gave birth to R&B, you know, gave birth to rock and roll. But the, certainly the field hollers and the gospel, the hymns and chants that came from Africa and really helped us as a people to survive, you know, some of the inhumane winds that were blown upon us during our times of enslavement. I look at the chain gang songs. I look at things that were done with the Smithsonian when many of the great blues artists were being recorded. Hattie Leadbelly. Matter of fact, they did the film on Leadbelly in my hometown, my birthplace, Marlin, Texas, when they were showing a lot of the saloons. But I'm a great student of history, particularly in music and just in general.
That's not surprising. You certainly have had a sense of history as one album, one project after another was developed. There's always something that had been so intelligent about the way you performed and the way you wrote. I mean, through the years, we went nuts in Philadelphia over you, Bobby.
You know, I lived in Philadelphia. That's where I found my husband. I don't know if you know, I lived there for about 2 or 3 years. Oh, my God, it was so wonderful. I live right downtown.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, where they show Eddie Murphy in that movie where he's acting like he's blind. He's saying, Donnie, coming, Rittenhouse Square. That's where I lived for like 3 years. And that was near all of the shops. I'm like, I love this Philadelphia and the seafood. Oh, my God.
Oh, look, you cannot go wrong. We have talked about this ad infinitum on this show. Between Baltimore and Philadelphia and Washington, I mean, food is off the chain in the Mid-Atlantic region. It really is.
It is. And I love, I'm sure you probably have been because you're near there. I fell in love with this place, Annapolis. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to get a gig in Annapolis. I've got to get a gig. Well, I did one years ago with the package, but I want to go back to that area or any place in Baltimore. So I'm going to pray on that, and that's going to happen real soon because I love that region, the whole Maryland region.
This may be timely advice. One of the regulars that we have in the chat room, who I adore, Beach, she is always listening from Southern California. And everybody in the chat room says hello to you, by the way.
Hello, everybody.
And
I hear you.
Beach, she just told me, and here she is in California telling me, she said, do you know that there is a new club in the D.C. area? It's called the Bethesda Jazz and Blues Supper Club.
Are you serious?
I am stone serious.
That's why I listen to you, Trish.
I got to find out more.
My daughter will be calling post-haste.
Okay, that's awesome. And here's another place for you. This is one of the best rooms I have ever seen, and you may be aware of it or not. It's called the Hamilton in the heart of Washington.
No.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
I will be there soon.
That's
hopefully
awesome. It's directly across the street from one of the coolest hotels ever, where all of these politicians stayed for years and years, called the Willard.
Yes, I stayed there once. That's a great hotel.
Isn't it?
I stayed there once. So this is called the Hamilton.
It's called the Hamilton.
I'm so used to being on the computer. The Hamilton.
I'll make sure I write to you.
It's Bethesda.
A Jazz and Blues Supper Club, which just opened.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll have
divine
to find
providence.
Out.
No, for real. You know how I think. This is divine providence. Bethesda, Jazz and Blues. And that's in Maryland?
Bethesda is like little D.C. It's right. It's in Maryland. It's in the shadow of D.C. Bethesda is absolutely crazy cool. It's just got the
I'm familiar
high
with Bethesda. Wow,
yeah.
I got to get there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And in case you forget, what I'll do is later on I'll send you the link to both.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Hey,
thank
look.
You.
You said you were going to do this show today, so believe me, I owe you, and so do so many of us, a debt of gratitude, because you, whether you acknowledge it or not, and I know, look, I'm a woman of faith too, and I know how God has been good to me, but Bobby Humphrey, you are a living legend.
That's what people keep saying to me. I'm like, okay, well, that's well and good as long as I'm interested in what I've done before, and I really got some really good, well, it's a secret, I can't really reveal it, but
okay.
Working on some new music that's coming, and I'm going to be doing some poetry with my daughter. Did I tell
really?
You? My daughter just got published by McGraw.
That's awesome.
McGraw Hill, yeah. She's the baby. Well, I only got one daughter. She's the baby that was on the Satin Doll. You remember the Satin Doll album? The
yes,
baby?
Of course.
Well, she's grown up, and she went to school before, and then she went back to school, and she's been winning all these awards for her writing. And she just got published. It's actually like a educational textbook, but they gave her the closing essay. It's the pedagogy. I'm like, you're getting too deep for me, girlfriend. The pedagogy of literature, of explaining the theory that, like Virginia Woolf said, a room of her own. Her theory is that in teaching literature, it would be wonderful to consider to have a room that is dedicated to literature. So I'm so proud of my baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, and so she was just published in that, and we're working on a book of poetry and music together.
Wow.
You know, yes.
You know,
I'm so proud of her.
That would be awesome in and of
her
itself.
Her name is Rishi Niles.
Rishi Niles.
R-I-C-C-I. Yeah, I've named her after one of my favorite perfumes at the time, Nina Rishi.
Oh, how well.
How did I get an Italian name? I said, I love that name. Rishi. Yeah, Rishi Niles. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And my
we'll
son
be looking
is an engineer
her.
Now. My son is a recording engineer and live sound reinforcement engineer for concerts and stuff. And he's just starting his own business right now. He's running the room at the Plaza Hotel. He's a head engineer there at the Grand Ballroom. So if you go through there, tell him, your mommy was talking about you on the radio. And his
well,
name is Anthony Niles.
You yeah. did really well. You made it a point to have all those plates in the air, and all of what you did took a back seat to the fact that you must have been a wonderful mother through the years.
In my opinion, once I had my children, that was the most important thing to me. That's why I've really sort of structured my recording, and it's been years between certain projects. But in my opinion, when you have a child, in my opinion, the most important thing to do is to love them and to show them options. I don't dictate to them. Certainly when it was time to go to sleep, I did dictate that. But to show them the options, what the world has to offer. And that was very, very important, and it still remains important. I want to pass the baton to them. I'm showing my son how to start his own business and get a business loan for his equipment and stuff. And my daughter, she's getting her headshots to different people, because even though she writes, she's been encouraged to be in front of the camera. So they're exploring, you know, and then the next generation of my grandkids, Tyler and Chase, they're just growing up just, you know, just being happy kids. You know, but I don't want people to think, like the poem, that my life has been a crystal steer. It's a certain point that you arrive at a certain clarity. This is my opinion, after you have gone through different life events. One of the valleys of my life was certainly, I can only talk about it now, was losing my house, which turned out later I found out was a hate crime in Texas.
Wow.
And I was very depressed about that, and losing my mom and my dad. So we've all had valleys and we've had summits. But that's what a testimony is that you can be a testament that, you know what, you have, when you wake up in the morning and you greet the dawn, this is a Bobbyism. When you greet the dawn, you've already won.
That's right.
And what you decide to do with those 24 hours is up to you. You can either bring the sunshine or bring the rain. And I said, seize the clouds with joy. And I'm like, okay, God, I get it now. Because when I lost my house, I said, oh, how do I move forward from this? Yana Van Zandt and Dick Gregory called and talked to me for like 2 hours. They said, you're going to get beyond this. And not to get biblical, but one of my great verses says, in my father's house there are many mansions. And the gift of Tobago was given to me, the natural beauty. That is my second home, that I go there at all, that nature and all that warmth. Anyone who knows me knows. I really wonder, it's not, let's just say it's not my favorite season. It has its thing.
Gotcha.
But I love the beach and I love Tobago. And so I have gathered moments, you know, where I was bemoaning the fact I lost all kinds of antiques. I've been gathering moments, not that I didn't before, but the golden moments spent with friends, that is immeasurable. You cannot even quantify that. So to spend time even over a cup of chamomile tea or Chardonnay and just chilling out and listening to music or creating music or writing something, I haven't lost anything. Every day I'm gaining stuff, you know. And all that was taken from me has been given back a thousandfold.
It is. And your attitude through the years, because I remember you stopped by for one of the brunches in Baltimore when WSMJ was on the air.
I remember that.
Some
music and the food.
Yes, I know that you do. And as a matter of fact, that day, you were getting ready to go to Tobago. You were really...
That's my second home.
Yeah.
Tobago changed my whole life. It's that awesome. And not that it's a commercial place or anything like that. It's the natural beauty of the people. And if you're... Well, you don't even have to be a musician, but if you take the time to listen... There's actually, the earth actually has its own rhythm. The ebb and flow of the ocean, and then I hear a baby goat, and then I hear the birds, and I go for long, long walks. As a matter of fact, I'm going down there in a couple of weeks.
Oh, man.
I'm going to be back in Tobago. Right now I'm on my way to, where am I going? I'm going down to Florida. I met a new friend 2 years ago, and he calls me up. He says, "You think you could do me a favor?" I said, "What? You mind playing at my birthday party?" I said, "I will beat you at your house."
Oh, that's
wonderful. So I will be
wonderful.
Down there for a birthday party performing. Yes, this very successful doctor, he's a urologist. So we're going to go down and play a couple of songs, and we're going to be in the country for a few days. And
now,
then I'm going back to New York.
I used to live in Port St. Lucie several years ago. So what part of Florida are you
going
to go to?
I'm going to, I've never gone there, believe it or not. Well, someone said I went there a long time ago. Orlando?
Or Orlando,
where Disney World is?
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
And today I'm thinking about changing my ticket. I think I'm going to the Florida Keys. I've read about that so many times. I've yet to go. And that is the southernmost, as you know, region that you can go in the United States. And I just want to witness that sunset. What is it, Duval Square?
Oh, let me tell you, Bobby, having been there,
yes.
and as a matter of fact, my son's dad is taking him on spring break to Key West, so you might see them.
Oh, my God.
Yes, in Duval
Square. Is spring
break
coming up soon? Yeah.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, within the next 2 weeks.
I am so there, and then I'm rolling on to the goat race. I try to keep my gigs, you know, squeeze them in somewhere. But have you ever been to a goat race?
No.
Oh my God, that's Easter time in Tobago. So I want to have my cake and eat it too. I want to do the Nana thing. My kids, they don't call me grandma, they call me Nana. So I do the Easter egg hunt here at my condo for my grandkids and the little kids. I'm going to take like a midnight flight, get into Tobago for the Monday. They celebrate Easter Monday, and they have 2 or 3 days of goat racing. You have not lived until you've seen a goat race.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You're cracking me up.
I'm looking at the visual. I have a visual in my mind, and it's kind of scary.
I'm here looking. Look, true confession, I'm sitting here looking at my screen, looking at all the photo images of Tobago. But actually, do you have passion flute? Or maybe you can play it another time. There's a cut on there that I wrote called Tobago Nights.
You
and,
know what?
My girlfriend, Gwen Guthrie, who is my best friend, sang the lead to that. That describes Tobago.
You know what?
Just,
And I love the song. And what I did was I have two tracks from Passion Flute. The title track, and I've got Harlem River Drive that I was going to play for you.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Those are great, 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 great songs. Passion Flute came about, I like to play around with words and stuff. My favorite fruit is passion fruit. And I said, I'm sitting on the beach and it comes to me. I'm like, that's it, passion flute. It serves a purpose of always saying that no matter what I do, the flute will always be my passion.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully that music brings passion to everyone. And passion fruit.
Well,
that's how I came up with the title.
It's so beautiful. And you know what? It was raining so hard earlier here today, Bobby, and now the sun is out.
Oh, you guys are good too, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, listen, and the music from the album is just so significant to play when the sun has come out from a terrible rain. So let's just play it right now.
Okay, great.
Cool. Okay. This is Bobby Humphrey, Passion Flute, the title track on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. And that is what you call musical food for the soul. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Bobby
Humphrey. Good friends again.
You know, you got the highest compliment. Matt is a regular in our chat room, and Matt is not only a friend who is engaged to my good friend Debbie, but Matt is a real geek. He's a self-professed lover of everything technical, and he is a singer and a trumpet player, and he said that you changed his mind about flute. He didn't love it until he heard you play it.
Oh, you're making my day on a rainy day. Thank you.
Isn't that
Thank
cool?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that compliment. Thank you, Matt.
Well, you, what was it that drew you to it? You said that you started to play at 15. I was attracted
to the sound.
Yeah? Okay.
I was attracted to the sound, actually. I was in the first grade, and I heard the sound of the flute. I went to the Dallas Independent School District. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. And they took us to the symphony. And it was a piece, it's Peter and the Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
And a classical piece. And the chasing came in, and I heard the flutes. And I innocently turned to my teacher, and I said, "What is that?" And she said, "That is the flute." And I just very innocently said, "Oh, my God, I'm going to play that one day." And I remember my mother got me what they call a song flute. I got a little recorder, the little plastic thing. And I started playing that, and I'd wanted to play the flute earlier. I had and still have an older brother. He plays the clarinet, and we went through our sibling rivalry. And I said, "Oh, my goodness, if I get in the band, he's going to say I copy off of him." So, no, this is a true story. So I waited, and I waited, and I didn't get into the flute until I was in the 10th grade at Lincoln High School. And fortunate, we had a teacher who had a jazz lab band after school, and I was learning to play things like that. So when I met Duke Ellington 6 years later, I'm like, wow, I learned C Jam Blues when I was in the stage band, and Little Darling, You Go to My Head, all those kinds of things.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah, you know, that's why I cannot stress the importance of having music and the arts in the schools.
Oh, yes.
We've got to put that back, you know, any way we can.
Yep, and Bobby, we've talked about this before too, but there are a few endeavors in Baltimore and Washington, people who have grassroots organizations who get children who are underserved in the communities, and they make sure that they have instruments in their hands after school.
That is beautiful. I'm doing that in Dallas.
Actually, are you?
Yes, I'm giving a couple of flutes out. That's what I want to do, you know, to at Lincoln High School, and participating in an African American scholarship fund out of Denton. It's so important. It's just, you know, I never tell people what to do. It's just so important for me to give back because it's with gratitude that, you know, so many of my fans have listened and given me the opportunity. You know, there are kids out there who knows what could happen, you know, if they're just given the opportunity and someone who believes in them. So that's what I try to do to any kid that I meet. Like, it doesn't even have to be music. I'm like, what is it that you really want to do? Because certainly we are all blessed with many talents.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, there is one thing that you do better than anyone else. And I feel that's your personal assignment, why you were sent here.
That's right.
To be authentic, boundless, and fearless. And to do that, and that's what brings happiness, is realizing why you're here and being able to share it with someone else or the world.
And how much of a sanctuary do you develop when you give an instrument to a child at a young age? I mean, you were describing this beautiful vision of going to Tobago, and you know, here you're going to go on a plane, and you've got your flute in your bag, And you know what? At any given time, whether you're in your room or you're maybe out on the beach, you can pull out that flute and you can be at one with nature.
I'm sitting here on my bed with my flute right now. Anywhere. It's so compact. You can just start playing it anywhere. And the piccolo, even smaller, you know, it flips right in the purse.
That's so
a
cool.
Guitar, you know. My little niece, she's thinking about the percussion. She's thinking about drums and percussion, which is great, too. As a matter of fact, you know, I want to give homage to my friend, the late Ralph McDonald, who produced a couple of my albums. He passed last year. But music, I can't say how powerful and beautiful it is. It's really a gift.
Well, with you, most particularly because you're one of those wonderfully glaring examples of it, when you think about music, you people have a basic introduction to a relationship with God.
That is what it is. To me, I tell people, if you're quiet enough, you know, like many of us, including myself, we're always, you know, talking or whatever, and that's a good thing to communicate. But if you take time to be quiet, you can actually hear the voice of God.
Mm.
I'm like, you can actually hear the voice of God, and you can come up with melodies. You know, you can really, one composer said, ride like the wind. You can ride the wings of music, you know, and that gives you such a peaceful space. So when I'm not creating, writing my own music or playing my own music, I truly, truly enjoy music. I'm so glad, you know, that we have shows like yours and on the internet, and I listen to YouTube all the time. I mean, we can go from blues to classical. This morning I woke up and listened to Gregorian chant. Then I was listening to the Islamic prayers. Then I went to B.B. King and then go to R&B. I love R&B. Last weekend, I went out on a Friday, and you may have seen my posting, and I danced. Oh, my God. So I left one club. Harlem is just on fire. I left one club. I went to the next one, and they had the spirit of Shango in the house music, you know. And just seeing all these beautiful people, you know, just having a great, great time and listening to music and dancing to music. It creates such an energy, you know, that you just feel good about life. You know, I think that's why God gave us music, you know, to be the soundtracks of our life, really.
And you know why you're so balanced? Now I get it now, and I should have thought about this earlier. My son's dad and I were talking about this the other day because we get so worried about friends who never experience anything in the way of woods or beach or away from concrete jungles that just say, you know, cement to you all the time. You are so able to appreciate when you get away. You come back to the city. Harlem is bustling, and you fully appreciate it because you had time to go away, you know? Oh, my God, that's a blessing.
When you come up, we must do lunch with my little spot up there. I won't mention it, but I have a little spot up there that I go to. I have everyone calling it the office. Particularly when it's warm, they have a sidewalk cafe. I'm like, who knew? I never thought I would see, like, a French cafe in Harlem, and we sit out and we do a little work. And really, the technology has allowed it. As long as I have my phone and my iPad, I can do a little work, talk to an agent or get a gig myself, you know, have some good food, sit around, crack jokes, talk about old times, new times. And networking, when you genuinely put yourself in the openness and you really, really enjoy people, that's something that you can't really fake. And I meet a new friend almost every day, not that I go around bothering people, but it's the laws of attraction. And we just have fun, you know, because really – the only thing at the end of the day, Trish, in my opinion, that we have is you and I, we have each other in this moment. That's all we really have, and the love and how we want to share it and feel those moments. That's all we have is this moment and each other.
Wow, Bobby. Oh,
that's all we have.
Yeah.
We have this moment in each other.
Well, you know, I'm really Pollyanna, and you are to a real large extent, too.
I really believe it. I mean, I met a new friend today. I live in a condo here in Manhattan. And when I want to be around people, and I guess for many years of being on the road, I love hotels and lobbies. So we have a nice lobby. I go downstairs, and I sit there, and I might have my iPad and be on the phone. And I met a young man, and I was speaking to him, and he was drenched, and I gave him my umbrella. He says, you don't have to do that. I said, look, I live in the building. Turns out this guy is from Texas. Now, what are the odds, okay?
Oh,
he's from
wow.
Texas. And he's in real estate appraisal. He said, but I really wanted to play the trumpet. So I'm glad I decided to speak to him. When we found out we had so much in common, I said, well, why don't you pick up the trumpet? I said, I started off in music with a guy who was a legend, actually, Lee Morgan, and I later told him my name. And we became fast friends like that, you know. So it's really about that connection and the openness. And he's going to go and buy a trumpet. He says, I made enough money in New York. It's time for me to follow my passion. So he's buying him a trumpet, and he's coming to the show on the 19th at the Schomburg.
Oh, wonderful. See?
Yep. Yeah, nothing, you know, we just communicate with each other.
Yeah, and further proof that nothing is by coincidence.
Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing is by coincidence at all. And just by me giving him that umbrella, it led to one thing to the next, you know. And then I said, oh, and by the way, what is your name? You will not believe what he said his name was.
What?
He said, my name is Robert, but they call me Bob. I said, my name is Bobby. And I said, you don't have to believe me, but my brother just called me and told me that our childhood friend named Bobby just died this morning. You know, I hate to be graphic, but that's what happens. And he said, you are kidding. I said, Bobby? Meet Bobby. And I said, Bobby, who's transitioned? Okay, I hear you. I see you, because I had gotten a little sad. You know, my brother had called me, and I was having my coffee in the lobby. But it's those kind of moments, you know. The music, it creates a connection and the openness, you know, that we network with each other, that we really are connected. We share more in common than difference. And that's for everybody in the world.
That is true.
We share more in common than there is a difference. And music is a unifying factor.
Oh, it sure is. And
music and the arts.
Wasn't that a way of God comforting you? You lost one, Bobby, and
I
you replaced...
I just lost him 5 minutes ago. And you know, even though I go downstairs, I try to obey the rules. They have this fancy coffee table, and they say, no coffee or anything over in this area. So along the wall, I moved over, and I had my coffee and my sandwich, and I went back, and this man came in. He was drenched, and he had all these flowers, and I said, well, I won't ask him if he's delivering the flowers or whatever, but I found a way to say hello or whatever. And he said, yes, it's drenching. I said, you don't have an umbrella? He said, no. And he had come to deliver flowers to his girlfriend in the rain. I thought that was so sweet.
That is adorable. Oh, my gosh.
That was so sweet, yo.
Oh.
So sweet.
And, of course, you were sold because he had flowers, and that's one of your favorite things.
Yeah. You know what? That's what you're absolutely right. I said, wow. And I think they were like gladiolus. And I'm like, oh, look at this. And I said, this guy is drenched, though. I said, it's horrible outside, right? He says, yeah, and I've got to go back to that subway, and I don't even have an umbrella. And I looked across the way, and in my haste of moving back over to my favorite seat, I'd left my umbrella across the way on the bench. I said, you can have my umbrella. He says, oh, no, what are you going to do? I said, believe it or not, guy, I live right upstairs. I come down here out of habit from being in the hotels. I'd like to sit out sometimes in the lobby.
And
so
you
that's
know
how
what?
My day started.
Huh? He is still buzzing from that, Bobby.
Oh, I know. And guess what? We became friends, so he and his girlfriend and I, we are going up to Harlem. I'm taking them to the office. And his girlfriend is getting her house repaired on Fire Island. So I made two new friends today.
That is so incredible. And
yeah,
and you know what?
So much fun.
We have to play Harlem River Drive. We have to.
Oh, thank you, Trish.
You know, I mean, for folks who know the history, you first heard this on Blacks and Blues, and then Bobby turned around after so many years of paving the way for not only women but other men as well in the music industry, and it's on Passion Flute as well, and just a stellar version. So we're going to hear Bobby Humphrey, who has spent some time with us, and we're going to wrap it
Thank
up
you.
After this. God bless. Don't go away.
Okay.
I want to.
Okay. Okay.
I want to make sure you're there. This is and I want you to hear it too, because you need to hear how great you are.
Thank you. You're so sweet. Thank you.
You are too. On Hybrid Jazz, enjoy this. Bobby Humphrey, our guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And let me tell you, Bobby, we're marveling in the chat room about how strong you are, not only playing the instrument, but as a person. You really do become one with that instrument. It is just a work of art in your hands.
Thank you. I love the flute. That's why I call that passion flute. It really is my passion. I remember so many years ago when I first started playing, and some of my classmates teased me, and they're like, "You probably sleep with that flute." I'm like, "If he only knew, I really do."
Well, you know what? That's what the great ones have done. I remember
up, I used to keep it in my bed, Trish.
Well, look, Chet Atkins used to fall asleep with the guitar in his hands. He couldn't sleep in bed because he had such arthritis. So he sat upright with the guitar, and that's how he fell asleep every night.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yep.
Well, I love it.
I do, too, and the flute loves you, Bobby. We're just, I mean, it becomes like a spiritual experience to hear you play. And, you know, that song means so much, Harlem River Drive. And, again, tell us. I know that BobbyHumphrey.net has more information. The date, again, of this really special event coming up.
Yes, the special event is called Harlem River Drive Live, a 40th anniversary of the 40th anniversary of a Global Road Song. It's going to be at the Schomburg Library. I don't know if they put the tickets up yet, but the Schomburg Library is on 135th and Lenox Avenue in Harlem, USA. Their number is 212-491-2200. And
great.
I'm updating the information shortly on my website. But it's at 7 p.m. at the Schomburg Library, 135th and Lenox, April 19th.
Well,
so please come out. And I understand I'm going to get a couple of surprises, too.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't believe that that song is 40 years old.
I know.
I'm only 40. Come on, guys.
You were out of the room playing the flute.
How does this happen? I'm only 40, guys.
Hey, look, listen, I hear you.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, you sure are, and we're having fun hearing you having fun. And look, I'm going to be in New York next Friday because George Duke and Stanley Clark are going to be at the Blue Note.
Oh, I think I'm going to meet you guys down there.
Really?
My two buddies, too.
Okay.
Next Friday. Call me when you get to town. Call me when you get to town, okay?
I will do this.
Oh,
oh my God!
So much fun.
It really has, Bobby. And actually, we could do another hour with no sweat. But look, we're going to make it a point. You're going to get the links to these places that you need to correspond with, so that we can make sure you come to Maryland, D.C.
Thank you. And ask everyone, and I'll ask them to please go by Bobby with an I, BobbyHumphrey.net. And I have the info, and just say hello, okay? And you can visit the store, too, the Bob store, but BobbyHumphrey.net. My little slogan, been there yet? BobbyHumphrey.net.
Thank you. Oh, Bobby, that's great.
I
and
love
they
you.
Will.
I love
you, too. and I'll accept that.
you're fine. So anytime, okay? We'll do this again. Anytime. I mean it.
That's great. And please know that I'll take you up on it. And God
okay,
bless
love.
You.
God
thank
you,
Bobby.
Too.
All right.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bobby Humphrey. And, you know, doing an interview in this last hour is always a trip, but we got out just in time. Don't forget that come Thursday, it's going to be Amanda Brecker at the beginning of the show at 1 o'clock, and we'll find out what the situation is with Jeffrey Osborne. Thank you so much, Bobby Humphrey. You have no idea how much you thrilled us. Griselda, Beej, Matt, and the assorted guests that were in the chat room today, thank you so much, and we'll see you on Thursday on Hybrid Jazz.